Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Tuesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Lots to talk about. We're glad you're with us today. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob Kelly, Luke, Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Corps is with us, as he is every Tuesday. Also going to be talking some great interviews with the new quarterback in town, Tate Rodebaker. Also, Ty Sims. Luke got those interviews at the spring game Saturday, and looking forward to all of that. Going to talk baseball here in a minute with the Golden Eagles back on the field tonight. But before we do that, some unofficial news coming across some media sources affecting women's basketball. Luke, you want to share what you've uncovered there?
Yeah, so got a text message a little while ago and went to X, Twitter. Scott Watkins about an hour ago with a tweet saying it appears Southern Miss women's basketball assistant Jack Trosper is now at Robert Morris. And so when you go to Trosper's Twitter profile, it says that he is the assistant women's basketball coach at Robert Morris University. So that is kind of breaking. I'll continue to monitor it through the program. If we get clarification on that, or if that's incorrect, we'll say it a little later. But it appears that Jack Trosper no longer with Lady Eagle basketball.
Okay, that's not coming from the school, correct?
No, but
from a pretty reliable media source. That
and as Jack's own Twitter profile. So I'll continue to monitor it and bring updates to the show.
All right. Well, let's talk a little baseball. Golden Eagles back on the field tonight, Southeastern Louisiana. Daniel Stewart, it didn't turn out too well the last time we played Southeastern Louisiana.
No, it didn't. We went down to their place, and I think we interviewed the coach that day, and he kind of said, hey, they're going to give us some good competition, and they did.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did. But that was one bad inning. And
right.
So we'll see what happens tonight. All right, some breaking news yesterday on the show. Coach Oz told us that a kid that I think we were all really high on, McCarty English, out with an arm injury, out indefinitely. Tough news, really.
Yeah, it really is. He's done so well this year. Really kind of matured in the first half of the season as a pitcher. Like we talked about before, has really good stuff. And, notice he didn't pitch this past weekend, so I kind of had in my mind he'd be getting the start tonight. So to hear that he is injured, big blow to that Golden Eagle bullpen.
All right, let's talk in general about pitching, and then we'll get the guys here on a conversation. If you look at it from the big picture, it seems like that we're, with the exception of Billy Odom, who's just been like a rock in the middle of the weekend rotation, our starters seem to be struggling some, and it's our frontline relievers that throughout most of this weekend seem to kind of, for lack of a better term, bail the team out.
Right. Yeah, at this point in the year, you fully expect to have your starters able to pitch into the, later seventh, early eighth innings, maybe coming out in the eighth, pitching that 7.1, 7.2 innings. So seeing our guys still, I think Billy pitched into the seventh. Armistead got roughed up a little bit early on. I think Mazza threw maybe five or six. So that doesn't really sound great, but at the same time, they're actually pitching pretty well while they're there. But our reliever guys, gosh, man, Sively threw five innings. Colby Allen's always been there three or four innings. So we've got some guys that can come in after our starters and do really well.
But you guys, this should not be surprising. You remember back at the beginning of the season, we said that pitching is going to be better than the hitters at the beginning of the year.
True.
But as the temperatures start to creep up, the hitters are going to get literally and figuratively more in the swing. They're going to get better. And so not to think that your pitching staff is going to be that good all year, because all of the hitters will get better. And this is not an anomaly with Southern Miss. You talk to other college coaches, they're saying the same thing. Well, of course our starters aren't as good, you know, as they were at the beginning of the year. It's baseball wide that hitters, as temperatures go up, so do the batting averages.
That's true.
Luke, I think we can all agree that at this point of the year, Billy Odom is our most consistent, dependable starter.
He is. I would still argue probably Nico has the ace-like stuff. But one of the reasons why Billy is in Saturday is because you know what you're going to get. And sometimes game one is always the most important to win, first game on the schedule. But to salvage a series, or I should say to put yourself in a place to keep yourself in place to win a series, you got to win game two. And that's what Southern Miss has done for the most part. They have won game two, and it's been because of Billy Odom. I love him in the Saturday spot. He's Mr. Consistency. You know what you're going to get.
What's so special about him, Daniel? What makes him so good?
Well, I think he knows how to pitch. You know, Nico maybe has more of the swing and a miss whiff stuff. Billy knows how to pitch. He knows how to move the ball. He knows how to place pitches in positions where he's going to miss the big part of the bat. You know, he had five strikeouts in 6.1 innings, so that's good. Only gave up three hits, so a lot of balls were put in play. So he has that ability to keep those hitters off balance.
And I think you've said the word that makes him is he's been the most consistent.
Yeah. And he frustrates. You can see the You can see the frustration in batters sometimes.
Moves the ball across the plate, up and down, side to side, good breaking stuff, good change up. So he's got all the pitches that you need to keep batters off balance.
All right, here's what I think is, and I was glad that I was there to see this Saturday. And Luke talked a lot about him early in the year and how important Chandler Best could be to the program. And he suffered a pretty severe injury, required surgery. First few times he was out this year, he just didn't look good. But boy, he looked splendid Saturday.
He threw
two and a third innings, zero hits, zero people on base. That's the feel good story of the year. But boy, what a big boost that would be to the
big
bullpen.
Boost. Well, you know, now that here in McCarty, English is potentially down. Don't know how long. We really needed to get somebody like a Daniel or a Chandler, not almost a Daniel Best, Chandler Best that could come in and fill the reliever spot.
That would work too. Daniel Best would work.
That Daniel Best would work too. It would. But you know, he's 92, 93 from the left hand side, good curveball, three strikeouts in relief of Billy on Saturday. So really excited to see him back in the rotation and doing well.
And Bob, I want to congratulate you. I think for the first time I've ever been on the Eagle Hour, the first non British citizen to use the word splendid on our show. So wait,
is that right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm trying to be like James Wynn, a little more like our digital director down on the
coast. Yeah, well done. Yeah. But there's plenty of talent on this pitching staff. Yeah. I mean, it's not a question as to whether the guys have the physical ability to do it. But I think Coach Ostrander talked the other day, too. A lot of the problems he's incurring is mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have guys that want the ball? Do you have guys that might be a little bit scared? And look, there's no harm. I mean, they're young men.
Yeah.
You know? And until they get in the fire, so to speak, it can sometimes be tough. But again, the pitching staff is deep enough to be able to overcome a couple of injuries. Physically, they're capable. But mentally is now the question.
True.
Overall.
And to that point, I hope we see a few more people tonight that we have not seen. Oz said that, right?
Right.
He said that he's got to get some guys like Druckenmiller. I thought we would have seen a little more of him. There, I think there will be more of a Johnny bullpen tonight, simply because with losing two relievers now. and especially one that you had to go, like you were going to. I could see where Best could replace English in regards to, okay, these are the four guys back in the game. Best can be in that. But you're going to have more than just four guys out of the pen. And so I think tonight, Ozme, you know, some guys we haven't seen maybe in a month. And there's a couple guys we hadn't seen at all. And I suspect to him to do that. Bob, if I can follow back up. So sure. A couple other things about women's basketball.
Sure.
Jack Trosper no longer listed as a coach on the 2024-2025 women's basketball roster. No longer listed that. Robert Morris just named a new women's basketball head coach in late March. There's nothing on their webpage. All the assistant coaches are TBAs. But Sam Sklar from the Hattiesburg American also now reporting that the Southern Miss women's basketball has lost key assistant coach Jack Trosper. So it looks that Jack Trosper no longer with Lady Eagle basketball. He is moving on to Robert Morris to be an assistant women's basketball
and coach. Luke, key is the word there. This guy's a really good coach, and through some of the tribulations that Coach McNellis was in this year and unable to coach, it was Jack Trosper that led the team. So that's a significant development, I think.
Absolutely. And one more to that, Sam Sklar also reporting in a separate tweet, he can confirm that Jack Trosper won't be on the basketball staff next season. So he's gone. Thanks for what you did, Coach.
No question. Breaking news, did a great, great job this year. Continue our conversation with Daniel. Still going to hear from Tate Rodemaker and Ty Mims. Lots to stick around for. Hope you will.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. This portion of the show is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net, and we appreciate all they do. Also want to thank Dickie's Barbecue Pit. That breaking news kind of sidetracked us there early, but we don't want to let that go without thanking them for all they do and reminding you what a great restaurant it is to take your family to. All right, Daniel Stewart's with us from Southern Bank Corps. Daniel, back on the field tonight. All right, 20-11. What's that, 31 games into the season? See, I went to USM. Took algebra and all that. 20-11.
20-12.
Is it 12?
Sorry.
I guess we lost Sunday. Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, it is 20-12.
Put it where you think the team is right now.
Compare it to seasons past. I mean, I think we're right there where we've been in the past two or three years. But it still feels like there's this year a little bit more uncertainties than there's been in the past.
There is a feel. I don't mean to interrupt you. There is a feeling that I can't put my finger on.
I mean, hey, it was like, hey, we're winning, but we're really not seeing those big, strong performances that we've seen a lot of times. And maybe we're missing the Nick Sandlins and those guys that we just know is a guaranteed W. But, you know, hey, I mean, Billy's coming across that way a little bit, on Saturday, like we've talked about. And I think maybe, too, we haven't hit as many home runs either. So we've gotten some hits, but haven't quite seen the lights flash at night, Pete Taylor Park, as many times as years past. So, but I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. But, I mean, we still got a lot of baseball to play. So it's really, not sure how they're going to pass.
And they are record-wise similar, albeit with a little bit tougher schedule this year.
Yeah.
But I don't remember which of us was talking the other day about, I think last year's team at one point had won 15 in a row. And it's this team, although capable, you just don't get the feeling that they've got 15 in a row in them.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. What is it that's in the air, Luke, that just it's hard to put your finger on?
you don't know which one's going to show up. I mean, it's there is microcosm consistency, and then there's like macro. I'm sorry, inconsistency and like macro inconsistency. So you don't know what you're going to get out of a player every game, and some of that's baseball. I get that, but it's just like the errors just came out. You know, it's weird things on this team. Like, how can you have 15 hits, you leave 12 runners on base, and you lose?
Still lose.
I mean, even if you leave 12 runners on base, you have 15 hits. And in the midst of all that, you got, you know, McIntyre, who's having a just unbelievable career year. I mean, he's putting up first-team all-conference stuff. But I think some people, there is a less of a wow factor to this team, and so perhaps we're viewing them more negatively than we should. It may be the home runs across the board aren't there. It may be that Nico has ace-like stuff. He just hasn't been consistent in that, where, you know, we've had Hall, you've had Stanley, you've had Powell. And so it seems as if there is, like, not one person other than McIntyre that may be, like, carrying the same Oldham specifically. But I'm not negative towards them. I've just tried to be like a normal baseball fan this year and understand this team that way. I think they will be fine. I am a little I think probably we would be in a 2 or 3 seed territory right now. I think that's probably where this team is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless they catch fire. And so to answer your question, I don't see a 10 to 12 game winning streak if they continue the inconsistency on the micro and macro levels that they've shown.
It's also kind of unique in that it used to be everybody feared Slade Wilkes, right? But now it's little Dalton McIntyre.
Everybody's afraid of him, that's for sure.
You can't get that guy out.
Let me ask you this, and this isn't having anything to do with baseball, but I thought my son-in-law made a good observation the other day, and maybe it dwells into the perception we all have. He said, you know, this is a really good team. He said, but the last 2 years, we had a great team full of big personalities.
Yeah.
And you got attached to those big personalities. That's not there right now. Does that feed into the perception that maybe this team is not as good as last year's team?
Yeah, it maybe does. Maybe from a fan perspective, maybe just that mental psyche of,
right.
You know.
And I think that's what he
was referring to. A lot of new names on – you know, a lot of new names out there at just about every position, and we're still trying to get familiar with, like, who are these guys. And McIntyre's a great example of that. Didn't know who he was, but now, man.
Now we do.
422 in the year, we know who he is. So, it's going to be a fun season to watch. It does seem like we're working a little bit harder to get those wins than we have in the past, but I like where we are right now.
From a former college pitcher's perspective, what is it about Dalton McIntyre? And I guess as a pitcher, why do you hate facing Dalton McIntyre?
Well, I think he doesn't necessarily hit the ball particularly hard. So, you know, now he does have a home run on the year. He's got a double and a triple and 42 singles on the year. So it's just like he's the guy who you just can't get out no matter how hard you try. He's not hitting it hard, but he's still getting on base. And from the left side of the plate and having that kind of speed, you don't have to hit it real hard to get to get on first base.
Daniel,
so he's in a great spot in a leadoff role, and, man, a lot of fun to watch.
Daniel, two stats that I've been watching that I can't remember seeing these two connected like this. So he's leading the team at an on base at 469, okay? Mm. He's only walked 9 times on the year. That's insane. To put those two stats together.
Usually, you're going to see your guy that on-base percentage is going to be propped up somewhat by walks. And he's not doing it that way. He is running out base hits is how he's getting it done. So really like to see him up there. And like we talked about, too, he doesn't come across as a 6'3 guy. He's just kind of thin, little wiry, but does a great job in center field. And man, yeah, like we said, great leader, great hitter in that leadoff spot.
As one of the things I like about baseball is there's more than one way to skin a cat. I mean, when you look at players, there'd be a lot of general managers that would take Slade Wilkes. I'm just talking hypothetical because he's big, strong, home run ability. Mm-hmm. But can strike out a lot, all right? Or you got the guy like McIntyre who's probably not going to hit a whole lot of home runs, but he's going to single you and double you to death, steal some bases. And so there's a lot of different ways to go. Ultimately, you got to get everybody clicking at the same time, and they'll all agree with that. Whatever their style is, they've all got to be on top of their game.
I think, too, you know, McIntyre in the one hole has done great, but, man, Ozzie Pratt in the two hole, he's almost hitting 300, he's done really well. So you can get McIntyre on base, have Pratt coming up behind him, then Wilkes and Butler and Pato. I mean, you know, but it all starts with McIntyre at the top getting on base.
And Pratt's not a monster either.
No.
So if you were coaching Daniel, would you be happy to have 9 Dalton McIntyres on your team?
Happy? Yeah, I'd be happy. But at the same time, you'd have to recognize, you know, you do need a balanced team and a balanced set of hitters. Could you win with 9 Dalton McIntyres? I think you can. But at the same time, you need somebody that can put one over center field every now and then, too.
It almost became humorous Saturday watching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he walked up to the plate with a big grin on his face every time, and he'd get on base every time. And you could see the first base coach just grinning and popping him on the top of the helmet. And you're thinking, well, surely next time he'll get out. No.
Yeah.
No, next time.
Well, he's having fun. He's playing with confidence. He knows he's fast. So from a mental standpoint, you say, hey, put the ball in play and let the defense get you out.
But statistically, that run is not going to continue, right? We know that. Statistically, it's probably not.
Statistically.
So some of the other guys, come on. Let's get with it.
But have you ever seen somebody that has his approach? We've never seen anybody with his swing. It is crazy unorthodox.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little Honus Wagner in there somewhere, Ty Cobb. But I'm saying it. What he does, particularly to the hole between shortstop and third base, and using left field. I mean, it's pretty wild how he sprays the ball to the opposite field.
Well, you know, it reminds me a lot, if you ever see footage of the Japanese baseball players and their approach to hitting. Sometimes it looks kind of like some softball players. They're kind of running out of the box. But it's all about slapping the ball other side, hitting the ball where they're not, getting a little bit of a head start to first base. And that's really McIntyre's approach, is putting the ball in play and using his legs to get base hits.
When he does hit ground balls into the infield, you can almost see the defensive player rushing themselves.
Puts pressure on him.
It does. Pressure.
Yeah, rushing to get the ball out of their glove.
What is the number one thing you're concerned most for this team, Daniel?
Probably going to be injuries to the pitching staff, because we got some really key guys that have carried us. If we were to lose an arm in our starting rotation, I think we'd probably be in trouble. I don't think we've seen the total output that we can get out of a Cole Boswell, really. I know he's had some struggles walking people, but this is a guy that was a starter, you know, I think first team All-American in junior college. So I know he can do it.
Pitched well in relief this weekend.
Pitched 2 innings, 3 strikeouts, no hits. So,
and Sibley has proven that he can step in there.
Sibley's
as a starter.
A multi-inning middle relief type guy that's really effective there. But long term, I think my biggest concern would be if we start seeing injuries to our pitching staff, who do we have to fill in those holes that those injuries create?
You going to stick around?
I'll stick around.
Do a prediction for us at the end of the We're not very good at these predictions. We always predict with our heart. And
I said 2-1 last week.
Hey, so did I.
So, yes.
So did you, Bob.
All right, when we come back, Luke did some great football interviews this Saturday, and we'll have him introduce those to you today.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad they do. They're good friends of ours. A great place to have lunch. Great place to have an evening meal. Great place to watch the ball game tonight. If you don't have tickets to the Pete, go to 4th Street Bar and Grill, and I assure you that they will have it. All right, today is the official opening of Genesis of Hattiesburg's new showroom. The sales department is open. The place is absolutely beautiful. It's on Highway 98 West. And later in the month, and I don't have my calendar in front of us, I was showing Kelly all the remotes we've got upcoming. One is at Genesis of Hattiesburg, and I'll get that date. That's going to be
April 24th.
There we go. That's right. There we go. Luke on that device again. So,
yeah.
Luke, run down those remotes real quick, man. We got a bunch of them.
April 23rd in Laurel for the Jones County Economic Development. April 24th, Genesis of Hattiesburg. April 26th, our good buddies down in Purvis at Ramey's. Then we got four coming up in May. The Okotoma River Festival, Alexander's in Ellisville. May 14th, Camp Shelby. And then you'll be on the road in Montgomery for the Sun Belt Tournament. That's a little over a month and a half away, as quick as it's coming.
That's a tough job, but I feel like someone needs to do it. So, Daniel, I'll go down there. I bet I'll see you down there, won't I?
Yeah, you might see me there. I'm trying to get there.
We'll maybe go eat some barbecue over at,
I could do that.
At Dreamland. Man, oh, man. All right, our man Luke Johnson was at spring football Saturday. Luke, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, talked to another quarterback. We had an interview with Ethan Crawford yesterday, another quarterback that's competing. This is a big-time transfer in for Southern Miss. Tate Rodemaker was the backup quarterback for Jordan Travis on that great Florida State team last year. Started against Florida and beat the Gators for the Seminoles, and I had a chance to catch up with him after the spring game. Here's what Tate said.
Tate Rodemaker here on the Eagle Hour, and Tate, spring practice wrapping up, and you're a new Eagle. And how did you get to Hattiesburg? I guess we know the transfer portal stuff, but why Southern Miss?
Once I hit the portal, I mean, Coach Hall was probably the first person to hit me up, and every day after that, him and Coach Long were just blowing my phone up. So they were definitely the hardest ones recruiting me. And then I came on the visit. They showed me around. It was a really good time. I liked the place, Hattiesburg. I liked what they were like set out to do, what they want to do this year. I know it's been kind of down the past year, but I believe in the future of this program.
What do you feel like you can bring coming from an unbelievable year last year at Florida State and your time there? What can you bring there and help this team here?
I think just being on a winning team, just undefeated, I know what that's like, and I know how to get there. Having some experience playing games last year, that really helped me. I think I just bring all of it. A little bit of skill, I guess, but it's fun. It's going to be fun this year.
Is it difficult learning a new playbook as soon as you came in here with Chip Long and a new system?
I think it's hard for me to learn this playbook. It's just NFL style, so there's like 10 words every play. At Florida State, there was like two, so it's a big difference, but I think the whole offense is coming along. We're all learning it together. At first, it was kind of rough, but we're getting there.
I talked to one of your playmakers, Ty Mims, and he was talking about, with there being a quarterback competition, catching balls from four different guys and the uniqueness. How are you making John White, Billy Wiles, and Ethan Crawford better, and how are they making you better?
We all got a really good relationship in that quarterback room, so that helps us. We tell each other when we're doing bad or doing good. I think that really helps me. Every quarterback room I've really been in has been like that. Me and Jordan last year, the years before, were just like that. So I tried to kind of bring that over here, tell my teammates when they're doing bad or good, and things they can fix. So,
what's the biggest thing you've learned, maybe football, but the biggest thing you've learned about yourself coming to a new school and going through spring training?
That's a good question. Just how much harder an offense can be learning a new offense, just transferring. I mean, I was at a school for 4 years, so I got that offense down pat, and I got to come learn a whole new one, but it's the sacrifice I got to make to be great. So I think we're going to do really good this year.
You're a Southern guy. I feel like Valdosta is probably a little bit more like Hattiesburg than Tallahassee was. Has it been fun to be back in a smaller town, place?
It's got that small-town vibe. I like it. It's different than Tallahassee, which – I'm not saying it's bad. I like it here. I mean, we got so many places to eat, man. It's unbelievable. I like it.
Southern Miss fans that are listening and want to know what Tate Rodemaker, thinks about this team going into the fall, what they could be, what would you say to them?
I think we really got a chance to be good. Just the potential that these guys have. Our defense has already shown to make plays this spring every day. and our offense is coming along. We got a few people hurt right now, but if we get everybody back, we're going to be really good.
Tate, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.
All right, Luke, your thoughts about that young man?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell the confidence that he has. He's not a like Ethan, and we've heard from John White. He's more of a quiet leader. But you can, from what my interactions with him and see him interact with his teammates, you know, I think people trust him. And like you said, he knows what it takes to get teams to the top, because that's what they did at Florida State.
All right, Luke also talked to Ty Mims, and here's that interview.
Ty Mims on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Well, spring's up. Ty, you guys got a couple more practices. What have you learned the most from this spring?
The playbook. I most definitely learned the playbook. I learned how to we do quick game, we do deep game. Coaches want to get the ball in my hands, and I'm learning all from all the quarterbacks, how they throw, the difference between them and stuff like that.
Let's talk more about that. Yeah, new offensive coordinator with Chip Long coming in. And what's been the biggest difference between this playbook and the playbook that you've run the last 2 years?
It's more tricky. I can say that we got a lot of things that we want to do, quick game and a lot of pass game and stuff. Coaches want to get me the ball and stuff like that.
I asked J.J. Butler this earlier. You're catching balls from four guys because it's a competition. Is that difficult? Do you make fun of them sometimes when they throw the ball differently than others? Just walk us through that.
Man, I can't give them a hard time. You know, for a wide receiver, like you got to catch every ball. It doesn't matter who the player is. You got to learn how to catch the ball from like everybody, and like just be out here with them throwing, like catching from them.
Because all of them throw the ball differently. Yeah. All of them have a different release, yeah. And it's just the reps that you learn those guys to do that?
Yes, sir. Like Ethan, he throw the ball hard. Tate, he got float on his ball. Billy got float also. John White, he got zoom on his ball, stuff like that. Like we just be out here every day catching balls. So, like, by now we should all know how they throw now.
You're the leader of the receiving corps. This is a receiving corps that lost a lot of guys to graduation. And what are you doing, you know, in your third year in the program, stepping up in that room, being a leader?
I'm just trying to be a leader. I'm trying to get everybody on the same page, because I want us to be better than last year. I want us to have a better season last year. I want the wide receiver room to be better, more focused, more leadership, everything like that.
What drives you because of the playmaking ability? I think you're like a lot of Southern Miss players. You got overlooked maybe because you're 5'9". At the same time, you've used that to be one of the best playmakers on this team. What drives you to do that?
My family. My brother died a couple years ago. It drives me, but I always had the drive in my body. Like ever since I was like 5 years old. But like it just, but what boosted it was my brother passing, and like I just want to get my family, make it, and like just help them.
Last question: talk about Coach Hall and what he means to you.
Coach Hall means everything. I love Coach Hall. Coach Hall wanted this program to go up. He never wanted it to be down where that. He always wanted it to be up, and I always stand by Coach Hall.
Thanks for your time, Ty.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Luke. That kid's going to be important to the success of whoever is the quarterback. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, he will not only return punts. We've seen him, you know, go the distance on those. But, I mean, he's going to be your slot guy. They can put him out wide, too. I mean, he's a guy that goes across the middle. He can make people miss in the open field. And because the receiving core is so young and just people talking about this team early, that's the concern. If we have all these quarterbacks, who are we going to throw into? We know we've got Ty Mims, but as he said, you know, he wants to be a leader to raise up other guys in that receiving corps. Another guy just to mention, J.J. Butler out of Forest. He's a young guy, but he's 6'5", and a lot of people think he can be the next big playmaker along with Ty Mims outside.
Do you sense that the players know it's time to win, that they have to win games this year?
I mean, interacting with them, you don't necessarily, that's not obvious. I think everybody just from ground zero says they're not here to lose. But I do think that there is a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to come out and say, you know, because it's Will's job. I think all of them want to be a part of something and leave it better than how they found it. I'll just share this on air real quick. Dylan Lawrence and I talked after y'all interviewed him last week, and he said, "You're a former player." I said, "Yeah, man." He's like, "Tell me some stories. Tell me how, you know, I and others can lead to bring a winning culture back to Southern Miss. I thought that was really good.
Well, that's what you want to hear, and we want to see that back sooner than later. All right, we're going to – Luke's going to step out, got some other business to take care of. We'll be back, wrap things up with Daniel Stewart. Hear what Daniel's predicting that's going to happen 4 hours from now. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
In Hattiesburg, just off of Interstate 59, there's no such thing as rain, wet grounds, or anything like that at D1. They're ready to help you get into the best fighting shape of your life. And of course, the batting cages are set up for baseball and softball. You can set them up for curveballs, fastballs, changeups, whatever you want. That's at D1. We're glad that they're with us here on the Eagle Hour. A little bit about a lot of things in the world of Southern Miss sports and women's golf. The Lady Eagles are in third place after 36 holes of the Brickyard Collegiate. That is in Macon, Georgia. J.C. Fields leading the way for the Lady Eagles. She's third. She's third on the leaderboard. She was the only golfer in the field to record an eagle, actually. The final round of that tournament is tomorrow. The Lady Eagles are third out of nine teams, only trailing Mercer and UAB. Women's softball off for the midweek. There is no midweek game for the Lady Eagles, and of course the men will be at the Pete tonight for a 6 o'clock first pitch against Southeastern Louisiana. And of course, just a little, you know, maybe a sprinkle here or there, but nothing that's going to cause any problems, nothing like the severity of the weather that we're hearing about might be incoming tomorrow. So all systems go tonight at 6 o'clock. Coach has not named a starter yet for tonight's game.
It's true, isn't it, Kelly? They're already canceling school just on the threat of thunderstorms.
Yes. Now, and Bob and I were kind of joking, when I was a kid, back when I was, we had the threat of nuclear bombs. We didn't have to worry about rain.
We just did the drill.
Had to go down underneath the schoolhouse and the civil engineering, you know, bomb shelters. And we never canceled school. But nonetheless, a lot of the schools now are around the area canceling school. Elsewhere in the news, the National Football League has announced that this year they are going to give teams the option to use position-specific helmets. What they mean by that is the different positions on a football team that are more at risk to head injuries and CTEs, i.e. the wide receivers, will be allowed to wear different types of helmets. It's all on the padding of what the inside of the helmet would look like to help protect some of these football players. Offensive linemen would wear different helmets, wide receivers, and so on. So that'll be an experience this coming year.
Well, except when you play the Bengals, and then it doesn't really matter because they don't hit anybody very hard.
No, they go. Where's your flag? to quit spinning, so I could pull your flag. But that's something going on in the NFL and the NAIA, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. Most all the schools in the NAIA are private schools. They voted unanimously yesterday to prohibit transgender athletes from participating in sports other than their birth-assigned gender. That out of the NAIA.
Anybody want to comment on that?
I don't know. When it comes to my opinion on that, I could go either way. But seriously, folks, I'll be here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses.
There you go.
No, you got to get, yeah. You got to get Hump the Wonder Camel back on there.
My apologies. There. Yeah. We don't mean to subject you to that.
Yeah, there you go.
He is. That's Kelly's favorite. All right. We go either way.
Bob, compose yourself now.
Okay. All right. I should have known better.
You're right.
I should have known better.
You teed it up for me.
All right, Daniel. 4 hours away, Southeast Louisiana. We had a terrible inning against them last week and really lost the game, I think it's fair to say, in that one inning. What do you expect to see from the mound tonight? I thought Luke made a good point with the news breaking yesterday about two of the relievers they were counting on not going to be around for a while. We may see a lot of different faces tonight, huh? You got to find somebody to replace them.
No, I think so. It'll probably look a lot tonight like it did last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We might even see a guy like Sibley come in and throw an inning or two because he threw Friday. But we will. We'll see a lot of guys run out there, get an inning or two. Probably see Cole Boswell out there as well. Some pitch well Sunday. That's, you know, one day rest, but I think he only threw 15 or so pitches.
Does the fact that the Eagles lost last Tuesday to Southeastern change the way you approach this one?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to approach it the same way. Now, tonight, though, we are the friendly confines of Pete Taylor Park. So that does make a big difference.
That helps. Air quotes around friendly, because we're not too friendly to some.
We're not real friendly to the opposition. No. What do you make about 50 seconds left? What do you make about the criticism, though, that we're seeing from quote-unquote fans about Oz pitching so many different kids during the week?
Well, I mean, it's easy to sit back in your chair on a Monday morning and look at the weekend and say, man, he should have done this or that. You know, fans truly don't understand the inner workings of a team and what you're trying to work towards from a pitching staff standpoint. So there's things that a fan's not going to know that the coach is going to know. So it all goes back to, let's support our guys. They're out there trying to win. Let's get behind them and you know, watch them, cheer them on to victory.
And what matters is doing well in your postseason tournament and going to a regional, because once a regional starts, everybody's record is 0-0.
Yeah. You know, I still am hoping they can keep that 40-win season
streak. We're halfway there.
Sure. Going. Yeah, we're halfway there. So that's something I'd like to see. But, yeah, I'm thinking we're going to take the home victory tonight.
Thank you, Daniel, as always.
Thank you.
Kelly, I guess you think the game could go either way tonight.
Yeah, I sure enjoyed working here for as many times.
I should have known better.
You teed it up for me.
I know. I should have known. You'd think after all these years I would know better, but who knows. All right, that wraps up the show today. Maybe the last show ever.
I was going to say, Bob will be here tomorrow.
Thanks to Kelly. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.